Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and that's time for your show, Raising Expectations. And we're excited that we're here with you tonight, and we're more excited that you're here with us. And like I always say, and we always believe in our hearts, we always thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for what He's doing in your lives. And we thank God that we're family in Christ. So you all know us. If this is your first time tuning in, we are blood-bought, born-again believers. Very simply said, we believe the Bible, well, is the Word of God. And we believe Jesus, He's the Son of God. We believe God sent Him here to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that one day we know when we die where we're going. We're going to be with Him and those that we love who receive that gift of salvation. And one of the greatest things about that is that every day while we're here, well, God's working in our lives, and Jesus is always giving us direction. He's only a prayer away, and He walks with us all through the day. He's always there for us. So again, we're glad you're tuning in tonight. If this is your first time, we welcome you, especially if you're a believer tonight. Welcome as a part of your family tonight. We look forward to that. If you're not sure if you know Jesus, we're glad you're with us tonight because we love sharing the one that we love, and we love being with you. Tonight, we've got a great show in store for you. You've been reading. You've been getting back to me this week. Steve McConkie, Olympic coach, trainer, man of God, a conservative, a man who helps men and women. You're going to hear all about this tonight. But very quickly, as we begin our program, we always tell you about our team. We've got a great team that we work with on the West Coast. You'll be in just a few minutes is Dr. Paul Hall from Santa Barbara, just above Santa Barbara in Lompoc, California. He's a retired pastor. He's a teacher. He's a leader of people. Guy loves God, and God loves people through him, just like all these folks on this staff. They're wonderful, wonderful people. Paul will be jumping in one of these times, and pretty soon when he gets back from this doctor's appointment. And then also, if we go all the way across the nation to the east or the south part of the east, there in Georgia, we have Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer in Dalton, Georgia. And there they are right there. And two of our favorite people, again, in the whole world. And Steph is a health and wellness coach, but she's Wellness with Steph. You can find that on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you'll find the story there about her. And also, the neat part about her website is she is now reached and followed the Lord into a new site. She has Live Life Out Loud. And there she has Live Your Life Out Loud, because she speaks with ladies that call from all over the nation. They get to know her because she exudes the love of Christ to these ladies, and they feel she's a friend, which she is to everybody. And being a friend opens her up to be heard, where people can hear what she has to say to help them. So pray for her as she works with many of these people and these ladies all across the nation. You get some ideas right now on the website and get to know her and what she's speaking about. Ooh, those tomatoes look good, didn't they? I'd trade those in for fudge, I guess, but maybe not. Christmas is coming before you know it.
those are from the garden.
Yeah, from the garden.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, folks, I got to write this down. She also has a green thumb. I didn't put that one in there.
So she grew a 22-pound watermelon.
Not really. I just try to not kill the plants.
I tried raising tomatoes once, and all I got was big green slugs, and that didn't work very good. They were big green caterpillars or something. I didn't want to hurt them. You know, but I let him go in the neighbor's yard. That was nice because he didn't care. But anyway, moving right along. And we're good friends. Moving right along, the man to her left and our right as we're looking in, that's Dr. Craig there. Tank is his nickname, as you know. They're a wonderful couple. Tank is a trauma surgeon. He's one that they ask when they wonder what to do. I got a feeling not only it's because he's so smart in the field of medicine, but more than that, perhaps, as much as that anyway, he just walks with the Lord, and there's a peace that passes understanding when he begins to talk to you. There's been times when I worried about something. I said, Tank, what is this? He just calmly said, look at this, look at this, look at this. And that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ lives, ministers, and works through Tank. We just love and appreciate this couple also. They're a blessing to us and to all of you because I hear that from you during the week. So they're all the way in Dalton, Georgia, and which is there in the north side of Georgia there, and they made it safely through the hurricane, and we're praying for them. Hopefully it's only going to go through Florida, and I know that the governor there has already got things going there, getting that ready. But boy, we need to continue to pray for that. We'll have a prayer for that at the end again. And Tank, maybe you could lead us in that, coming right out of Georgia at the end of the program we get near there. If you'd pray for the people there again and pray for, you know, the incoming blessings that they need and that they'll get the blessings that they need. I saw a picture today I couldn't believe. It showed a Black Hawk helicopter. It went into the places where they were putting food out to the people in North Carolina in dire needs, and they were coming down low, tilting that, and blowing all the food that they had stashed and stored all over the place, discombobulating everything, and then flying off. What in the world was that? So I don't know what, but Tang, maybe at the end you can pray for us on that, pray for these people. That'd be great. Well, we all join together and head east, west, actually, and we go right through Alabama, Mississippi, come up on Louisiana, start to gain altitude and come down on the north side of Texas. In McKinney, Texas, you'll find one of our favorite pastors in the world right there, and that's Ron McKinney, who's in McKinney, Texas. Actually, that's Ron Greer in McKinney. And Ron is a counselor. He's done so many things in his life, always in ministering, always helping men. He's with Man in the Mirror, and there's his website off of ours. You can follow up and see what Ron's doing, what he's up to, how he's helping men all across America. This man has taken a stand for Christ in his life when others would have sat down. He stood up and he stayed the course and did what God told him to do, just like these others. And now we get to reap the benefits of those blessings of what God did in their life. So that's Ron Greer there in McKinney. And you've got Paul Hall out on the West Coast. He'll be popping in pretty soon. And of course, you have the Thayers there in Dalton, Georgia. And so now we want to introduce to you our guest tonight. You're going to see his pictures pop up here. His name is Steve McConkey. He's an Olympic coach. You talked with him once before. He was a good friend. He knew Ron, I think, before. Ron introduced him. Appreciate you sharing good guys with us, Ron, all of us. He's a leader. I think he's an evangelist. This guy is not only a great coach, but he's involved in helping great young athletes become all that they can be. He's the president of Four Winds. He'll tell you about that later on. He also trains these athletes that went into the Olympics. He was a great runner. There's his wonderful wife, Liz, of 44 years this August. What a great testimony as they've helped and blessed and with their family been a blessing to countless other people all their lives. And, you know, with all he's been doing, that's something. And there's one of the things he says, how do I become a Christian? I love it. Track and field United States Olympic team. So he'll be sharing with us here in just a minute. We're going to bring him on. And he'll also be sharing about how he worked with these young men and women and training them to be not like the Army said, all you can be, but all God can help you be, because he shares Christ with them and encourages and strengthens them. Boy, I tell you, I wish I had a coach like that back when I was in school. We're almost about the same age. So Steve is a tremendous light under the darkness and helping these young people. And, you know, when young athletes are up, they're up. When they're down, he lifts them back up through his relationship with Christ. And what a difference that kind of a coach, just like Tank does when he coaches water polo, lifts them back up. He probably gets them out quicker because they could not hold their breath long. But in any way, both of them lift them up this way in a great way. So let's give the round of applause. Steve, we always bring our people that we love and care about on this show. We bring them in with a round of applause. So we're going to start right now. Welcome to Raising Expectations. And he's going to bring you on. There you are right there.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Yep. Tell us about what it was like coaching these folks and lead us in and tell us the things you ready to share we talked about.
Well, actually a coach from 1982 to 1992. I was a U.S. national club coach for the United States track and field club coach from 82 to 92. We had 93 athletes ranked. Then in 1992, we found out that if we stretched out and tried to minister to athletes, that we had to actually drop our team and then venture out so we can work with athletes on other teams. So the predominant thing we do right now is we do ministry work with Olympic athletes, plus we give training advice, but so we had to expand beyond just the team and training athletes individually, or we wouldn't be able to reach more people. So that's, and then 2003 and onward, we started defending Christian athletes plus ministering to them. So that's what's got me in a little bit of trouble, but in a good way. So we have an opportunity. I was just at the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon, and we ministered to 1,500 athletes and prepared them before they went to the Olympics in Paris. So God Yes. opened tremendous doors to prepare them. And as they, for example, you saw a lot of athletes testifying. You saw Sydney McLaughlin set the world record at the Olympic trials and testified about Christ. You saw her do the same at Paris, and various athletes were thanking God throughout the whole Olympics. And so my main objective is always the Olympic trials, because you can reach 1,500 athletes. When you go to the Olympics, they cut off. It gets to be a security situation, and you can't minister to many athletes. It's a good place to minister to the fans, spectators, but as far as the coaches, officials, and athletes, the Olympic trials is the place to be, and that's where God put us, and he opened tremendous doors.
Amen. Amen. Tell them about some of the things you shared with the lifting the athletes up when they got discouraged, and then some of the things that you saw or heard about in Paris also that we were wondering what was going on, like the opening and other things that God did some movement in you shared.
Well, we just concluded our 326th worldwide interview, and most of those interviews go on 250 radio stations, then in 35 states, and then worldwide. The latest in your interview we did was on Boise State forfeiting the game against San Jose State because they had a transgender athlete in San Jose State that could hit the ball 80 miles per hour and could do damage. But at the Olympics, what we found out, the Olympic Committee sent a media outline and what media should do, and they said don't use the terms male, female, or husband and wife. So we fought that during the Olympic trials and during the Olympics. And what a lot of people don't understand is the Olympic Committee is a part of the United Nations. And I've known this for a long time. So when you see, for example, the opening ceremony that you saw with the Olympics, that's not a mistake. It wasn't like, oh, we just did this and it happened. That was planned out. The Olympic Committee approved it. And indirectly, the United Nations is pushing this through the Agenda 2030. And if you look up Olympic Committee, United Nations, you'll see during the Paris Olympics, they're with the Olympic flame, they're shaking hands. So what you're seeing is an onslaught attack on Christians through the Olympic movement. The good thing is the athletes don't pay attention to this. And I may know out of the 200 athletes that were on the roster for the U.S. Olympic track and field roster, maybe two or three that would be for this. But they did set a good amount of medals. They won 34, tying what they did in Los Angeles, my first Olympics. This is my 11th Olympic cycle.
Wow. Yeah, anybody have a question they wanted to ask about those things?
Yeah, so they actually restrict you from getting to the athletes at the trials and the Olympics?
Well, you know, I'm going to try to be careful because I don't want to get people in trouble, but there's some people right in high places in USA track and field. They're all for what I do. But you'll always have one or two, you know, that create problems. And the people I stand up for are high-ranking athletes and high-ranking officials and high people in track and field in USA. So they don't bar me, but if you get one of the woke people upset, then you can get in trouble. For example, I shared the gospel and God led me to the athletes. Amen. And he puts me in positions where I share the gospel with them, and not only share the gospel, not just evangelize, but encourage Christians. And that's something I never understood when I was younger self. I always thought you got to win people. You got to get numbers, numbers, numbers. But a lot of it sometimes is encouraging Christians too. So the athletes have nothing to do with this woke stuff that you're seeing, the opening ceremony. They don't even know what's going on. And I, like I said, out of 200 athletes on the USA track and field roster, maybe two, three that would be for this. But the Olympic Committee is always used in 2003 as the only one publicly fighting against the International Olympic Committee and the transgender movement. And so I called three International Olympic Committee people in the United States and said, this can't be happening. You're not going to allow transgenders in Olympics. And then I called the Colorado Springs and Colorado Springs, the U.S. Olympic Committee. The last thing the Olympic lawyer told me, nothing will ever become of this. Well, I sat with Jenner in 1976 when he set the record in Des Moines, Iowa, and then he went on to win the gold medal. And I got kind of a photographic memory, and that's good and it's bad, because you can't forget the bad stuff, but you remember the good too. And I remember to my right side back was his Jenner and his first wife. And there's about 10 of us in Des Moines, Iowa, and they were, and the other javelin throwers and other decathletes were discussing back and forth with Jenner about how, to throw the javelin and, you know, kind of jostling back and forth. It was really great. And Jenner was a great athlete. I remember seeing him compete. But at the same time, when he started to do this stuff, and plus the Olympic Committee, I took a firm stand against it, realizing I had no idea that it would become what it did. But what the Olympic Committee did, they got overtaken by the LGBTQ radicals. And the reason it happened, and I'm trying to be careful here, but you know, in the 60s and 70s, athletes used to tease gay people, and I'm not for that at all. You know, and that's what they used to do. I'm just telling you the truth. And so what they did is they figured, well, we'll hijack the Olympic movement, you know. And then what happened was, the reason they did that had nothing to do about transgender athletes at all. And that's the catch. People say, what are you talking about? Are you conspiratorial? No, what it did is they passed it there so the State High School Association and world bodies throughout the world would accept transgenders and LGBTQ movement. And then all of a sudden, now you're seeing Title IX trying to go into high schools and influence high schools. It all started back then, and they used it. They had purpose was not just for transgender athletes, but was to radically change, with the help of the United Nations working through the Olympic Committee, radically change what you're seeing now with Title IX that was put in by Biden August 1st, which we're fighting. We got to stop them. We need the local high schools. So this is and whether they sat down and actually planned it out, but this is what we're up against. But we're winning in a number of ways. I'll tell you about that if you got a question, but I can tell you how we're winning too. And so we really come across. So what we did is we got 10 Olympic sports to stop transgenders in Olympic. That includes swimming and track and field. And we had it beaten boxing. But what they did is they had intersex athletes in boxing. They were intersex, so that the athletes were they were intersex, not transgender, but they had the testosterone levels of a male. And so what the Olympic Committee did is they knew this problem was existing. Boxing had stopped it. When it got to the Olympic level, the Olympic Committee said, but just let it go and we'll see what happens. And obviously it created the problem with the boxers looking like men beating the women. But if you go back now, rewind, that was 2024, this last year. In 2016, I tried to sue the International Olympic Committee to stop the 800-meter race in Rio. I knew that there was three intersex athletes, just like the Olympic boxers in 2024. But that was in 2016. I tried to stop the race, and everybody thought I was crazy. And, you know, there's three intersex athletes in the race. And why would you want to stop it? We're okay. Just quit. So the race happened, and they got gold, silver, and bronze, and all the women were in the back crying. And that's when they started realizing what I was talking was truth. And the intersex athletes had untested testosterone. And so that's kind of a history of what's going on. And so I get to share the gospel with the athletes. I get to encourage the athletes, and I get to fight the Olympic Committee all at the same time. And it's pretty exciting in different ways, but I'm telling you, it's a challenge at times too.
Steve, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stephanie. You got a question? I saw you looking. Okay, good. Well, I don't mean like good, good. I meant,
you know. You're ready for a question. I know.
You mentioned the UN's Agenda 2030. You want to more specifically on the gender and what you call part of that? Can you elaborate a little bit?
They've always got. Yeah. So, obviously back in 2003, it was a different type of agenda, right? But then they did the Agenda 2030. So what Agenda 2030, people think, well, it's just sustainable, stopping the production of climate change and the production of, making sure that no country's polluting another country, right?
Right.
But if you really dig deeper, and what you do is you get into Wikipedia, of all things, they reveal exactly what Agenda 2030 is, because then they go over all the steps. They kind of hide it,
Yes.
It's bureaucrats, what they do is they write a 100-page book, and there's maybe two pages that mean anything.
Right.
It's just like the current Title IX stuff. They got 1,500 pages to protect transgenders and LGBTQ, but there's probably four things in there that mean anything.
Right.
So it's the same thing with Agenda 2030. So what's in there is climate change, of course. But then they push abortion. They push removing genders. They push the radical LGBTQ, or whatever. I got tongue-tied. the gay movement. And that's the first time that's ever happened. So what they do is they push an agenda. Yeah, you almost nowadays they got like 50 things, and you got to get a college degree to figure it out.
Right.
But LGBTQ is a problem. And so they took it over and they radicalized. And so they're pushing this through the United Nations. They want the athletes to catch on, but most athletes have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if they knew it was part of that. And I tell the athletes, don't fight it. I have conversations and I bring it up, but I say, I'm fighting it for you. Do not fight it, because the media will destroy you.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have destroyed two athletes in the past.
Well, yeah, I thank you for that. And because I think most people never have heard of it. If you're listening to this, you should Google that and read it. Because there's 17 goals. And as you say, they sound kind of innocuous and harmless. But until you actually click on it, you'll see, if you go to the site, you'll see 17 different goals, and you'll see the little icons for each one. They sound very, very innocent and sort of noteworthy. But I challenge people to click on each one of those and read through them. And in particular, agenda item number five of the 17 has to do with gender equality. I would challenge you to click on and read that, and then and look at some of the horrific and crazy ideas they have for so-called gender. And the other part of that is, it's a part of the UN. Well, their intent is to have this, how can I put it? So the UN wants to have this one world government. They're already partnering with the WHO and a couple of the organizations and a bunch of politicians to do that, who will eventually take their agenda and make sure it happens in every country around the world. So I would challenge anybody to read that. And it's 2030, not 2050. They're looking at very soon, quickly, it's taking place. And by the way, our sitting president, if he's still there, and the one running, both are in full support of the Agenda 2030, full support. So I would thank you for signing the warning sign, and I would challenge people to go look at that and read it and find out what's in it. It is very dangerous and extremely dangerous to our sovereignty as a nation.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Sorry about the dissertation.
No.
Thank you. Yeah.
Somebody usually when I talk, people don't even know what it is. So that's good. You're well versed on it. I had to train myself You know, what they do is if 2030 comes along and it doesn't happen, then they'll send it, they'll change it to something else.
Yes,
it's a continual
absolutely.
Process.
Yeah.
Until they take over the world, and they're really fortunate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's actually 2030 now, but this actually started, initial emphasis was on 2025 or 2024 or something like that. They just moved the ball.
Yep.
And COVID was going to be their magic bullet for instituting their entire control, but didn't quite go the way that they intended. But like everything else the devil does, it's slow, steady, long term. Yeah, they keep pushing, keep pushing. They do.
Oh.
So the other, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, sure, Steve, you had mentioned that you had, you know, wins, and you mentioned the 10 sports that you were able to stop some of these transgender athletes from. What other wins can you recall? Like, you don't have to tell me a specific athlete, but was there anything really significant that stuck out to you about your Paris trip that, you know, you have those moments that make it worth it?
Yeah, so what we do is I concentrated on the Olympic trials, and I do instead of the Olympics, because that's where I train the athletes to go to Paris. So that's where our main focus is, Olympic trials. A lot of people go to Olympics and they end up ministering to a spectator or getting a picture with an athlete. I try to make sure that I spend, because it's 15 days in Oregon I spent, and I spent a lot of time with those athletes, encouraging them, and not even talking about all this other stuff. But even though when I got to Oregon, I had this worldwide interview against the Olympic Committee, you know, but to the athletes, I don't try to get them deep into this, because I dealt with an athlete that was at the Winter Olympics in Russia, and she was a many-time gold medalist. And she had mentioned in the paper that a guy should be with a woman and a woman should be with a guy. Then the media worldwide trashed her and started taking her on and saying she needs her Olympic ambassadorship taken away. And she had to retract the statements. Yeah. So what I tell athletes, don't get involved in that. They will destroy you. These athletes train 4 years, and they're young. They're 22, 23, 25 years older, Olympians, yes. But to ask them to go and put that on their shoulders, you know, like Riley Gaines, she put it on her shoulders, but you see she's not training for the Olympic trials, right?
Right.
Back then, she didn't go to the Olympics. So it's it's something that I tell the athletes to avoid, because they got enough on their mind. And so from a distance, they look at me and with wonderment, trying to figure out what's next. And I just take it on, whether they even get into knowing totally what I do, but I try to make it known what I do, but I don't push it. Main thing I have the athlete concentrate on is growing Christ and training, which is, you know, being Olympic track and field athletes is very stressful. And they've got, you know, you got to balance everything. And then when they get the Olympics, like I said, we won 34 medals. We tied the 1984 Olympics. That was my first Olympic cycle. The next Olympics would be 2028. And that'd be my 12th Olympic cycle. You know, at my age, I'm not that old, but still you got to, you know, that's 4 years ahead. So that would be, you know, 12th one. So we got a lot of work to do between now and then. And so I got my work pretty full, especially defending Christian athletes on the radio. I have podcasts that come out. I don't do them personally, but like the Tonight. And so I'm able to share this. The word is slowly getting out. And we always knew when we were on the radio, we were waiting and just believing. And I kept telling the people on the radio, we did this way before Riley Gaines 6 years ago. And I kept saying, when the grassroots finally realize what's going on, they start standing up, a lot of this is going to be reversed. And so Riley Gaines came along, and lo and behold, she's had a great effect on reversing a lot of this. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a battle, but if we don't do it for the kids, then who's going to do it? I went to Washington, D.C. in October 2022, or no, March 2022. So I told them out there in the Senate, I went, visit a few people when I left some stuff, House of Representatives, and I said, when you deal with this, just don't deal with saying, okay, we're going to have a transgender athlete. I said, latch on to that, the dangers of transitioning, the heart attack rates with transgenders, the, you know, and the suicide rates. No, start telling people about the dangers of being a transgender. And they started lumping that together. And now we have 26 states that oppose, you know, transgender athletes. So we have 26 that are for what we do.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How about
that?
I'm sorry. So, go back again to, you mentioned the women who forfeited their match. And now it's like it's three teams now, I think. Who forfeited the match because they didn't want to compete. Kind of explain that. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Boise State was the first one. So they realized that San Jose State had a male transgender. Mm-hmm. And they also realized that this male transgender could spike the ball at 80 miles per hour. So that puts their athletes in danger.
Right.
And so – even in Oregon, they had in the state of Washington, they had a 400-meter race. Each state had a transgender win. A transgender won the state championships in those events. Even the liberals now are starting to boo this and realize that this is not right.
Yeah. So I wish we had a videotape because you mentioned how hard they spiked the ball. There's a videotape of a transgender athlete, this guy spiking the ball, hitting this young woman, and she's literally on the floor. And I believe they have to carry her out. And I don't, you mentioned that because I don't think people realized what the big deal is. On one hand, it's more than just the moral aspects of it. It's the safety issue and health and safety issue of the women involved in the sports. Exactly. You know, if you're running, that's one thing. If you're doing contact sports, volleyball, although we don't think of it as a contact sport, but you know, stand by the net and get spiked and get that ball get spiked a couple of times. But again, I think that's the thing that people miss the boat on completely. It's a safety issue as well as a moral issue. You know, I think most women, they're honest, understand and know it. The thing that breaks my heart is you don't have enough women like Boise State saying, you know what, we're not going to compete. And I sometimes wonder what the movement would look like if women's just refuse to compete against them altogether.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on that? Just refusing to compete.
Yeah. I think there's three in that San Jose State thing, isn't there, Steve? There's three different ones if I saw the report, right?
I think it's four now.
Yeah, there's more. Four, and right. I don't know because I can't follow all the three because I got so many irons in the fire. But, Ron, we dealt with that case. I think it was Virginia High School. We dealt with that case at Virginia High School where the high school spiked the ball. The girl got concussions. As a matter of fact, retired from the sport from what I hear because she's afraid of the head injuries. Ended up in the hospital, and it made her, you know, I had changed. But you know, you got to realize that on the scientific basis, the skeletal muscles, the framework of a person is 30% stronger, 28% stronger in male versus even if they start taking hormones.
Right,
and even
right.
Bruce Jenner says that a high school person should not compete, you know, or a person should not compete now as they change in puberty. My only issue with Bruce Jenner is he'd probably approve of gender drugs and surgeries of a transgender at an early age, and I would be morally opposed to that.
Yeah.
And I was corrected at an event in Milwaukee during the Republican convention by somebody that had base with Bruce Jenner that it's not all innocent either. In other words, he might take a stand against the athlete portion of it, but he's still pushing it. So I kind of stay out of that. But the athletic portion is very concerning. The fulcrums and the doctor knows all this stuff about physiology and the anatomy and stuff about all this stuff that goes on. And what they're not telling you is that, you know, they did studies and the death rate is high. The strokes, the when they start taking these hormones, the transition is very high. Suicide rates are high. And the reason the suicide rates are high is because inside of us, we know what God has taught us. We know when we do wrong. When I was not a Christian, when I wasn't a Christian, I knew when I was sinning, you know what I mean? I didn't know what to do with it, but God showed me, you know, you're going down the wrong path. If you keep this route going, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
So I think what happens is a lot of these athletes at school, 25% now are coming out of high school saying they're LGBTQ. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the high suicide rates is because they're telling these kids, if you just come out, you affirm who you are, we're going to have 30 days of pride, you're going to be happy. Then all of a sudden, they know that they're doing wrong. Then all of a sudden, they know they're doing wrong, and they get out there and they find out that they're not happy, because inside we know when we're doing wrong. And right. I think that's where the suicide rates increase, because they thought, well, I thought I was going to be happy. And yeah. it's very sad.
Absolutely. Tank, do you have a thought on that medically?
Yeah, I mean, there have been several studies that have come out that have shown that the gender, whether, first of all, when you take the puberty blockers, it sterilizes you for life. So my colleagues are not informing, not all of them, but some. And there's still one academy, which is run by professors who aren't willing to admit they're wrong, that are still supporting gender transition and surgery and puberty blockers. And the other half, the society is all against and is sworn. The Association of Plastic Surgery has said, this is wrong, stop doing it. So there are some logical minds that finally looked at the so-called evidence basis of gender transition, and it was built on a house of cards. WAPO is the name of the group. And they're all, not all anymore, but 90-something percent of them are doctors, but they're psychologists, not medical psychiatrists or a real doc. There are some family practice people that are listed, but if you look at their position paper, most recently published, there's 300-something names, and they don't list what their degrees are on that. Oh, what a surprise. And when you finally drill down into where the evidence is, it's a page and a half of nothing. And so finally, when someone actually did the ultimate scholars, the ultimate skeptic, show me the evidence, there wasn't any. So it's a house of cards by a bunch of psychologists that want to promote something that makes people belong, feel they like they belong, but it doesn't solve the situation. We are born male and female. The sport should remain male and female. Simple solution, create your own sport. I mean, or your own group. Right. Just get them out of there, and then there's not an issue. Now, there's always these weird chimerisms and other genetic weird things that can happen. There was a female track star that was really good, and I forget, she had some abdominal pain, and she got a CT scan, maybe, and I think she may have had an elevated testosterone level, but she looked female physically, and she ended up having a retained testicle, and she didn't know it. It's not like she was cheating, and it was... mental tragedy for her to know that, geez, I've got something that's made me, you know, more physically stronger than I should be. So, and like what Steve said, the suicide rate studied is 3.5 times higher in the group that get the surgeries. So this scare that doctors, you got to get this or your kid's going to die from suicide. I mean, look at Elon Musk. He lost his son to this whole, the docs convinced him that my kid will live a better life and all those things. And now, you know, so the key to me is when something is, so you're male and female, or there's some chimers, that's weird, it's only a little less than 1%. That's what you are. And the LGBTQ / A, whatever. When you start to say, I feel, which is what gender has become, so it's changed the definition. I feel like I'm female when I'm a male. I feel is a mental issue, right? I'm thinking, therefore it's mental. So it's not, and they're looking as hard as they can to find some protein, some chemical in your blood that identifies, say, with, same with, you know, homosexuality. They've always been looking for something that says, yeah, this is a, it's not, it's a trait. It's just, it's a characteristic.
And I will talk about the big study with homosexuals in Ghana. Have you ever read that? G-A-N-N-A. And the research group. Mm. Is it okay if I go ahead and talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay. So they did. They had 500,000 homosexuals from Great Britain, Sweden, and the United States. And so what they did, one person that was on the study was actually gay himself or herself. I don't know, you know, the situation. But this is a legitimate study. It was a secular study. It wasn't based on left, right, or some ideology. So they studied the genetics to try to find the gay gene. And so what they found out, this study is like 4 or 5 years ago. So what they found out, there's 20 to 25,000 genes in each cell of the human body. They could not find one gay gene that was that was related to homosexual. But so what they did is, it was a really weird study because then the gay activists, they tried to make it look like they found something. So they said they found 5 variables, and that has nothing to do with really genes. It's like minuscule out of millions of things that could possibly, they said 8 to 28% cause some traits for being gay. But then in parentheses in the end of the report said it wasn't determinative or causative. So here's the catch. For a person's height, there's 12,000 variables. For what they said for being gay, there was 5 potentially, and then in parentheses, it's not determinative. So the media picked up on those 5 things and made it look like there's gay genetics. And see, I'm surprised that the Fox News and all these other people don't report on the study. It's a massive study. And then even the person that was gay inside the study said, I had to reveal all this stuff and tell people the truth, even though I really don't want to, because it really shows, you know. And then they went into sociological things that cause it. So make sure you look up GANNA and look up gay gene, and you'll find that there was none. And it was a massive study, and you won't find another study afterwards. But you go on Wikipedia, and then this researcher says there is, and that researcher says there wasn't, but they don't go back to this major study of 500,000, went over millions and millions of genetic material. And, you know, it's pretty tough. And when you start talking about this, boy, they start saying, oh, you're a homophobe and you hate people. And, you know, and I bring this stuff up, and it's, you know, just put it this way, you'll be getting a lot of flack, but look it up. It's real.
So I don't think you've seen this, but right now on different social media platforms, there's this video going on where it's kind of a social experiment. You ask someone that doesn't identify as their God-given sex about their cat or their dog. And you say, is your cat a boy or a girl? And they answer right away. And they're like, oh, they're not transgender, or they don't identify as a boy. You know, you ask the opposite. Nope. And they literally... it's really interesting to watch. You can see it like clicks and they freeze and they, because it's nonsensical. It just, you would never do that with something else. Right. It's really interesting.
You know, the other part of that, you mentioned suicides. I think the last study we saw was in 2021. I think the, out of 100,000 kids who identify as gay, I think it went from something between 22,000, I think it's 5.8 or something out of 100,000, up to 16.1 of every 100,000 among men, among males rather, and among females, it almost tripled as well. And that's suicide attempts. They never cover the actual suicide, successful suicide. My wife was in education for, well, until this June, for what, 30 years? And the one thing she'll tell you is that as a counselor, they've dealt with teenage attempted suicides and suicides more and more, probably more in the last probably 10 years than she ever has in her entire career. Yep. And the ones with the highest incidence of attempted suicides, or even who threatened suicide, are those who are so-called struggling with their sexual identity. And then the most wicked thing is how the activists and other folk pin that on the folks who don't accept them. Because, and the truth of the matter is, in most all the cases, They're accepted among their family and friends and everyone else, and but yet they still commit suicide. There was one case in particular, probably 3 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So Delta Airlines had a flight attendant, a transient, a guy who went from a guy to a woman. They celebrated, had him part of the commercials they did, both for homosexual groups and also for just regular commercials. And it was celebrated. And the whole idea was about how great his life was. They did news stories on it. And all of a sudden, once he got famous, world famous, he commits suicide. You go, wait a minute. If your life is so great, you're so free, you're so satisfied, why suicide? Yeah. So it's this lie that Satan has dumped among folk. And the other thing is
Yep,
oh,
go
go for it.
ahead.
Go ahead. Go
Sorry.
ahead. Now go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, so the suicide rates go up, but you got to remember there's a correlation if you start studying the amount of money that they put in the school psychologist over the
Yes.
years, you'll find
Yeah.
that it correlates with the suicide rate. And
Yes.
it goes back to, I'm really convinced that people know inside what's good and right. Not always. I think there's 10% of the population that I would call just crazy, that may not know right from wrong. There are those, maybe not that
Sociopath.
high, but I
Right.
think the majority of these people know right and wrong. And so they're told if you just come out, and then a lot of people say they're bullied and stuff like that. I think that's a thing of the past. I think right now you've got 25% of the kids that are coming out of high school say that they're gay.
Yeah.
So
It's well, it's
I and I think
actually
in that
30.
survey, a lot of those,
Well, I'm saying actually
but a lot
the
of those
study
kids,
says 30% of the kids.
Thank you.
That
Got
I
something
think a
on
lot of
that.
those kids are just
I'm
putting
sorry.
that out there because they're trying to
Yes.
fool the system. You know what I mean? I'm
Yes.
not convinced that, but it's high, but I
Yeah.
think they're just fooling the system too. The kids
Yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Remember in August, Tank, you had some great information on that too. In August, it fit
Yeah.
right with what Steve's saying
Yeah.
when you were sharing about that. Oh, yeah.
It's Abigail Shriver's book, Why
Yeah.
Our Kids Aren't Leaving the Home. Basically, that's not the right title, but that's the right author. But yeah, her term is gentle parenting. So we're just so afraid we're going to traumatize our kids that we end up screwing them up. That used to be there may be a school nurse at the school, now there is. And then now there's almost everywhere a therapist at the school. So it's like
And all of them
therapize the worst
the
they get.
same. Yes.
Well, folks, we're going to have to jump in here for a minute. Boy, this is a great
Yeah.
discussion. I have good news for you, though. We've got Steve coming back with us on the 28th of October, which is 2 weeks from now.
All right.
Tell you
Okay.
some of that that's coming up. Next week, we've got, there's an exciting program next week. And the following week, we have Elizabeth Ollins, who is holding neck and neck to take to win the Senate seat in California. And she's been doing a great job. Boy, she's a prayer warrior, a real prayer warrior. Steve's
Wow.
got some information he's been sharing. It's been incredible all through Wisconsin and other areas on the website. I'll let you say a word. Steve, we're going to take an announcement here and have you take about a minute to close us out in a minute, if you could do that, brother. You look good now. It's perfect. We can see you good. This worked okay. I'm with you. We could get you.
But just don't move.
Say a word to our folks for us. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight and each week. We really appreciate you guys. If you head over to bbsradio.com/raisingexpectation, you can find all the goodies about us. At the top there's the different stations that you can listen live. And when you start to scroll down, there's different ways that you can donate to us. We always appreciate that. It does take money to make everything happen, right? And then if you continue scrolling, you'll see prior shows that you can listen to. You can see what guests we had on. And then when you keep going, you see the different co-hosts, how you can connect with us, a little bit about each one of us. And then at the very, very bottom, there's Joe's book, my husband's book. And so it's just a great place to get all kinds of information. And then, of course, you can always listen to us on all the different platforms that you can listen to shows.
That's great. And also, Steph, like you said, there's a what's that square thing called?
A QR code. You just
Thank you.
scan
There's a
on
QR
up to
code.
it and it'll link you right where you need to go and you can make
That
all the
was it.
donations.
I said, Oh, it's all new to me. Just take a picture. They said it's right there. I said, okay, well, she'll tell you. It works out. Okay, folks, Steve, tell us just to close if we're running out of time, but if you could take just a minute and share, we're coming back in 2 weeks and give us a word on that. 2 weeks, 20.
Yes, and this election coming up is very important. And what I'll do is I'll go over the election, the swing states, what's at stake. And I follow this every day and just show you the importance of what's coming up and whether, it's sometimes the lesser of two evils. We know the Republican Party is shifting on abortion and all kinds of stuff. But overall, there's still 80% of them that were being the Senate, the House, they're still pro-life. But we need to really stand up for what's going on in the United States. And at least one thing about Donald Trump, and I don't do advertisements for anything, but I will say this: he's for the freedom of Christians to speak up, and it's very important that we get him and many as Republicans as we can in office, because we know that the other side is definite Marxists. They're not moderate people that I voted for in 1996 or 90. In the back when we lived in Minneapolis for a pro-life Democrat. We don't have that anymore. We don't have the moderate Democrats anymore. So we need to, they're all like radical
Amen.
leftists and people that raise their fist and
Amen.
crush you
Oh,
under Marxism. So it's very
yeah.
important, and I'm not exaggerating. Sorry for going so
I
long.
see. No, that's good, brother. We'll cover that when we come up. Tank, say that quick prayer for us, would you? Just pray for
Sure.
the people of North Carolina. Take us out.
Dear God, thank you for all you bless us with. Thank you for this platform to talk to all these people who are listening. Man, I pray so hard for the awesome in God's image made people that are LGBTQ that just are confused, man. Just God, be in their life, guide them, make them feel like they belong. They are beautiful people. They deserve help from you, God. Please help them. And in Florida, for this hurricane coming up, please, protect all those people that are in its path. I know your will be done. But give them the wisdom where to go, how to get out of the way, how to protect their homes, what they need to do that they can stay safe and save the things that they can. And for the rest of us, let's just be lights to people and bring God's words boldly to people so that they can see your word and what you're about, God. Just let us be like Jesus to all these people, and they'll want to join us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for being with us. And I thank you, Steve. God bless you, Liz, and all the family. And Ron, it's great to see you, brother. And brother, good to see you. We miss Paul, but we'll be back next week. God bless you. We'll see you next week. We've run out of time. We got BBS. They need to roll. So we'll see you later.
Alrighty.
Have a great
Happy
week.
sails to you.
There you go. That's
You'll
it. Don't
be
forget. There you
me
go.
again.
Yes,
Happy
it's good to see
sails
Ron.
to you. We get the whole song next week, Ron. We were really late on that one, but I got you, so be ready.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.